Pascal plus a good base in Spania. So we got a little bit old together so far. Let's go on. Rayal Be'isahi. Was it that time? At this time, right, when everything goes badly, I will search through Yerushalayim with candles. Remember, Spania was living at the time when the Churban Bayis was about to happen. Yirmiyahu was speaking to the people who were, you know, the Amiratim. Sefania was speaking to the Talmidei Chachamim, right? And then Chulda was talking to the woman, all the women that were out there. Right? I'm going to search through Yerushalayim with candles. I'm going to go through, I'm going to really punish the people that are sitting on their sediment, just sitting down and doing absolutely nothing. These are the people that are the extremely wealthy people that do nothing with their lives. The people that say, God's not going to do anything. He's not going to do evil. He's not going to do any good. The way of the world will just keep going the way it is. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, yeah, I'm going to kill you. That's basically what's going to happen. In this pasuk, Chafetz Yerushalayim Benayiros, is actually where we learn Bedikas Chametz. We all know, right, that by Bedikas Chametz, you're not allowed to use a torch. You can only use a candle. With a candle, you can search out for things, and things can be seen, right? So it's going to be in such a way. That makes sense. Psalchem right over there. Right now, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do that. He's going to search Yerushalayim with candles. Is going to find all of the idolatry that's hidden in the hiding places, and the Yetzirah is going to be destroyed as well. That's what it refers to over here. When it says there's no good, no evil, whatever it is, these are people that are denying basic midas ad-din. They're saying that God will not judge the people. It's not going to happen. There's not going to be anything bad nor good. It's just going to be. That's all it's going to be over here. Some say that the light that we refer to over the Neros is referring to the light that will be in the future. This specifically referring to La'asid Labo, there's going to be a great light that will search through and get all the people. Anyway, their wealth will become booty to other people. Their houses will be destroyed completely. They may build houses, but they ain't gonna live in there, right? They're gonna plant vineyards. They won't be able to drink from the wine. That's because they're going to be in gullets, and that's the reference that he's referring to. They're going to be destroyed. The day that the day of reckoning, the great day of reckoning, is coming close. It's very quickly, very speedily coming. Kol Yom Hashem. There is a sound of the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to join. Matzoreach Shom Gibor. The mighty man, the strong man there, shrieks aloud about what's going to be and how is it going to be over here. Meaning, even in that day, the heart of the mightiest warrior, the person who is the strongest out of all of them, his heart will melt. He cannot stand what's going on. It's going to be very, very hard. So what day is this like? The day of the destruction will be Yom Evra Yomahu. It's going to be a day of anger of Hashem. Yom Tzora Mitzuka, a day of pain and oppression. Yom Shoya Umeshoya, a day of Shoah, of Holocaust and destruction. Yom Choshev Apela, a day of absolute darkness. Yom Anan Va'arathal, cloudy and thick fog. Now, obviously, if you notice in this pasuk, aside from the first part of Yom Evra Yomahu, every other part of it is a doubled up lashon, right? Tzora Mitzuka, Shoah Umeshoya, Choshev Apela, Anan Va'arathal. In order to like really clearly show how bad it's going to be, the calamity, how bad the impending calamity is going to be, we use these double expressions to be able to say, I would assume this is right before it happens. So too, a day of the blowing of the horn and the horn on the cities that are fortified by Pinos Hagvos, as well as the high cornered towers, the different areas that are around there. And they will be captured. I'm going to make people pained, and they're going to walk around like blind men. Because they have sinned. Their blood, unfortunately, will be poured out into the ground like dust. And their flesh, their fat flesh, will be like dung on the ground. Everything, nothing will be cared about. They won't even be, you know, nobody will care that this is all happening. Plus, at the end of the there's no way to get out of it. Their silver, their gold won't be able to save them. Even though they might think to themselves, listen, we're very wealthy, we'll pay off the armies, and the armies won't come against us. It's not going to work. Do the fire of his jealousy, he's going to consume the entire land, is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that will make an end. There will be terrible confusion for all those who live in the land themselves. There's no way for them to go through. Again, no bribes whatsoever. So what can you do? What do you do, says Sfania? How could you possibly get out of this? So on Park Bays, says he's Koshuva Koshuva Golo Nechsof. prepare yourselves, gather yourselves together, and allow yourselves to be gathered, the nation that has no shame. Now, this is a famous line. You might have heard of this line before throughout the Gemara, Yiskoshu v'koshu, that a person cannot give mussar to another unless he's worked it out for himself. Only once Yiskoshu, when you prepare yourselves and get yourselves together, can it be koshu to other people. Will you be able to say that mussar over to other people? There's no way to be able to do it another way. Yes, exactly. The word kash is clear over here. Kash is the chaff and the straw that comes from regular grain, right? This refers to their distress. They were likened to the chaff and the straw and the wind, blown away, and nobody cares about it, and they're not able to get together. So it's literally the opposite, right? Hiskoshu v'koshu, they're like you're scattered. Gather together. Allow yourselves to come together, then maybe everything is better. Perhaps this is referring for them to do tshuva, right? Perhaps this is for them to hear mussar from the Nevi'im themselves. Either way, the truth is that nothing is going to happen unless they admit their wrongdoings, they allow themselves to come to the Emes, and that's that. But instead, these people are unashamed of their deeds. They're willing to talk about what they've done wrong in front of other people and have no problem with it whatsoever. The famous mitzvah is with Rabbi Yanai. From Metzia brings down that Rabbi Yanai had a tree that was overhanging the Rosh Hashanah. And he always thought that it was perfectly fine to overhang the Rosh Hashanah because people could use it for shade. But apparently it was bothering a lot of people from traveling because their camels were getting caught up in the branches of the tree. And there was a court case in which they brought it to Rabbi Yanai, and they had a guy whose branches were overhanging in the road. And Rabbi Yanai had to paskin that since the Rabbim is going against it, then you got to cut down your branches. But he suspended the judgment, and he said, come back to me tomorrow. That night, he cut down all the branches of his tree that were overhanging the Rosh Hashanah, realizing that the people didn't want to say anything because it was Rabbi Yanai, but they clearly wanted to say something.
His branches were good for shade, but the other guy's branches were in the middle of the street.
That's a good call. It's possible it was that way as well, but he said, I'm going to cut down mine down first. And the next day, came to court, and he paskin, you got to cut down your branches. The guy immediately said to him, well, what about yours? Rabbi Yanai says, go check out my tree, buddy, and then cut down your branches. He knew, he understood. So it could be that there was clearly something different, right? And that Rabbi Yanai was allowed to. It didn't seem like Rabbi Yanai was over on an iser by doing this, right? By having the branches out there. He mamish thought it was like that. But nonetheless, it's koshu v'koshu. A person has to cut down their own tree before they tell others to do the exact same thing. Anyway, b'tarm letetz chayik, before the day of the law, before the law is born, kemotz of our yom, the day, right, the day is, that day passes as if it's chaff, as if it's, you know, just blowing in the wind. B'tarm lo yavo aleichem karna Hashem, before the fierce anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes out, b'tarm lo yavo aleichem yom HaHashem, and once again, before it does not come to you, the day of the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if you look over here, I think b'tarm, is there a little line in this pasuk? I don't have it over here. It's right there, right? Right. It indicates that the decree is halted if the people gather to do tshuva. If you do tshuva, it'll be stopped. There will be no such gezerah, right? So b'tarim. Well, then, if you do it, then it'll be halted. But nonetheless, there is going to be bad. Unfortunately, there is a punishment for the wrongdoing and the punishment for the anger that is caused by their wrongdoing. In other words, it was a double punishment, and thus the double wording in the pasuk, in which number one, you need to be punished for your deeds. Number two, you need to be punished for what you did to the world, how you destroyed the world, so to speak. Yeah, what are you going to say? Yeah.
Where's that Gemara with Rabbi Yanai?
I thought it was Bava Metzia. It probably says it somewhere.
There. Oh, there.
What is it? Bava Metzia what? Nuntas?
Sign.
Yeah.
There's a Gemara with, I just remember this because it stood out, with the Yavamos. Did you definitely get the Yavamos?
We've been through it a while.
Oh, sorry.
Can't talk to you.
Yeah.
No, no, no. You're clearly just into it. Yeah.
That Rav once, I think it was Rav, or the Ger once came to, I think Rav, and said, you know, he's having trouble finding a wife because nobody wants to marry him because he's a Ger.
Right.
So he's like, you have my, you know, I'll give you a recommendation. You know, you should have a problem. I vouch for your Jewishness and everything.
Gioris.
No, it was a Ger.
Go on. Go ahead.
And then he said, okay, so let me marry your daughter. And he's like, no, not so fast. So then, and I think the guy died in there.
Without getting married?
It seems like that would...
That might be a little bit different, because maybe the daughter, you know, like forcing me on.
I would tell people to marry you. I'll tell girls to marry you.
That was because of Yuchse. There's a deal with Yuchse. That would be a issue.
But then how can you tell somebody to marry
somebody? You can still be Machmer. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but you're being Machmer as opposed to...
But wait, if you're being Machmer, how can you... You can't.
The halacha is this way. The halacha is you can get married. The halacha is people should marry you. But there are people who can be Machmer. You want to be Machmer? I don't remember exactly. I know what you're referring to. There is something. I remember something about that, but I think it has to do with Yosef specifically. We have to think of this. If we find the case, that would be easier. Right? But I think that has to be the answer, around the answer. Yes, when it comes to halachos, if there's a halacha that you have to keep, there's a halacha you have to keep. But a person can be Machmer. In this case, there's nothing to be Machmer about. Why?
It's a black and white thing.
No, it's not. Especially when it comes to chumras. If you have a chumra not to eat from a certain food, right? I can paskin that it's much for you to eat, but chol of stam, I can paskin for somebody else to eat. There's no problem with that. But I hold that I want to be machmer on the chol of Yisrael. That's a chumra that I keep even though others don't. And that's fine. I have no problem with that. If you want me to paskin your chol of stam,
yeah, but I mean, the whole point of his question was if everybody's machmer, then he has no way of getting married.
Agreed. But in this case, he knew that not everyone is machmer. A guy like Rav is going to be machmer. Again, deal with Rav. Deal with Rav. Can you imagine somebody come up to you?
Yeah, but that's not my point is that he... This guy was saying that he sees he has like nobody's help, no one's throwing him a bone. Nobody will marry him. So you're going to Rav, like, you know, if Rav vouches for me, then I'll be
good. That's fine, but that doesn't mean I'm going to marry you off of my daughter. So that's a little crazy.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're like, yeah, well, everyone will be like, okay, well, Rav wouldn't marry his daughter, so like.
No, it's Rav. I don't hear that. I totally understand the point. But on the other hand, I don't think that, if that's the case, and I don't remember it exactly, that's not a riot. That's like going up to, seriously, that's like going up, I'm not comparing. You're going up to somebody who's a billionaire and being like, you know, I can't find a wife. Give me your daughter. The guy's like, oh, I'll help you. I'll help you find a wife, but I'm not giving you my daughter.
I can't find a job. Give me your money.
Yeah, or something like that.
But a billionaire's not like, I mean, this is for like a religious standard. It's like a dynasty to uphold.
So agreed. I'll be willing, but I'm not giving you my daughter.
Donald Trump to give him, you know.
But that's Rob's daughter. Again, I don't see it as a riot. That's Rob's daughter. I don't see it as a riot.
I understand, but I was troubled by that Gemara because at the end of the Gemara, the guy died.
Probably not because Rob didn't give him his daughter.
No, I think it was even worse. That like the guy kind of like was upset at Rob.
Okay, so we have to find this Gemara.
If
the problem like that,
somebody looks at him and
Noch Nafshe.
Somebody looks at him and then like a big rabbi looks at somebody.
Oh, Yov Ba'ina. Oh, because he probably had chutzpah. That might be a different story.
It didn't seem like that from the. I don't know. I think
now I'm sort of remembering. Hold on, Greg. Okay, give me 1 second.
I think so. I mean, it wasn't Amora. I think it was Rob.
Rob killed him, then I got one here. Do you have a list of everybody who killed everybody? I have a list of everything that he did. Hold on, Rob. Okay, so let's see. Became rich for sounds. Went to the basement of Rebbe. Okay, got him somewhere. When he said he went up to judge.
Guy tried to marry his daughter and he killed him. You've almost memham it out. Right, it's got to be from chutzpah. So we'll look it up right afterward. Okay, memham it out. Now we don't have the bummus right here. But memham it out is the Gemara you're referring to. Good. Calling it bummus. All right, here we go. So that was Pazik Bays. Pazik Gimel over here. Bakshu es Hashem Kohan Be'a Oriz Hashem Ishpatopa Alu. Go search out, seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all you humble ones of the land, right, who have done judgment, who have done good things, Pa'alu, and that's what you've done. Bakshu Tzedek Bakshu Anava, you search for justice, you search for Anivus, who lies to Sussu Yom Hashem. Perhaps you'll be hidden in the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger. So he's referring to the people that obviously are good people and everything like that. He said, if you do this, if you act with humility, if you act with righteousness, you do the right things, then don't worry, things are going to be okay. That's going to be able to give you a kapara so that you won't die in this day. Ki Aza Zuvatiyah. On that day, Aza is going to be forsaken. Remember, Aza is Gaza, right? That's the city of the Phoenician. Ashkelon Lishmama. That'll be desolate. Ashdod Batsaraimi Gorshua. Ashkelon. Ashdod. Yod, I'm sorry. In the noon will be destroyed, everybody will be kicked out. The Ekron Teaker, as well as Ekron, is going to be gone as well. Seems like they're not going to that. So this is what it refers to. He's, I forgot what it is. Yeah, we're talking about Moab and Ammon in a second as well. If you wish to remain faithful, and everything works out with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you do the right thing, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will repay you by destroying your enemies. If you act in that way, the Plishtim will be gone, the Moabim will be gone, the Ammonim will be gone. And this is the first part that's going to go through. Hoy Yoshvei Chevel Hayom Goy Kresim. Woe to those living right by the seacoast, the nation of those that are cut off completely. Kresim might be another word for the Knanim. Oh, it could be also. That's a good call. He calls it Kresim. What do you guys have on the side? Do you have the islands? Usually they call it the Eim. No, he says it's a particular part of the Pelishtim.
It's settling the coast of the sea. Right?
Yeah. Okay, so that's what it means. Devar Hashem Aleichem Kanan Eretz Pelishtim. The word of God is upon you of the Kananim that are living by the Pelishtim. I will destroy you. There will be nobody left living in your land at that time. But the whole sea coast, that whole area of the city, is going to be a place of digging meadows for shepherds, for the rowing. The Gidros sown and fold for the flocks. In other words, everything will be gone. You'll be digging in order to make wells for the flocks and things like that, but that's that. By a couple of sheris Beis Yehuda, and there will be a portion for the remnants of the Beis Yehuda, Lam Yerun. That's where they're going to graze there. Pavote Ashkel Be'erav Yerbatsun, in the evening in the houses of Ashkel, and that's where they'll lie down. Keep Gideon Hashem Elokei, and Hashem should be some. Because the Kodesh Baruch will remember them and bring back their captivity. So even though the Plishtim will be gone, Yehuda will come back and take over that land. Herpas Moab Gidufei B'nei Ammon. I've heard the herpas of Moab and the curses of people of Ammon. The way they knock down my nation, and they're haughty at the border, not allowing the Jews to come in, not helping the Jews whatsoever, taunting them, ridiculing them, saying that they had absolutely nothing. They cried, right? They cried, hey, you're going back to the land of your avos. Finally, you're going back to the land of Abraham, right? Saying as they were going up to Babel, making fun of them in that way. Therefore, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yisrael, ki Moab kisdoim tiyeh, the area of Moab will be like Sidon, v'yamo kamora, mimeshak karul Umichre Melach. It will be a place of thorns and a place where you have salt, where salt pits are there. Ushmama ad oyum. It will be there forever. Shayr Sami Yevuzum. Right? The remnants of the nation will inherit those areas. And the Yeser Goyin Chalum. They'll take over those parts. Now, again, this never happened. The reason why it never happened is because the Anubim and the good people of Klal Yisrael were not good enough to be able to destroy the nations of the Pelishtim and the Moab and the Ammonim to be able to destroy their lands completely. But this could have been. Zos Lam Tachas Gonam. This is because of their pride. Remember, we talked about Yeshaya, how prideful the Moabim were. Kiherfu, because they were so evil. Because they were haughty against the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Nora Hashem Aleim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be awesome, awesomely horrible to them. Ki Raza is Kola Elohei Aretz. They will shrivel up and just make thinify. I don't know a good word for it. Make skinny. All the gods of the land, Yishtachbu Lo Ish Min Komo. Each man will prostrate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kuhi Yagoyim, even the islands of the nations, they go all around, they'll all do that. Gavatem Kushim Chalei Charbi Hema. You Kushim as well, even though you were far away, apparently the Kushim also did something wrong to Bnei Yisrael. Perhaps they were bought out for what's it called? For armies to fight against the Jews at one point. Chalei Charbi Hema, you will be slain by my sword. Other people say, and this might be brought down by the Radak, that the Midyanim is the reference to the Kushim over here. The Kushim references the Midyanim. Perhaps, remember, we did say that the Isha Kushis Asher Loka is a reference to Tzipora, and that was obviously a Midianite woman, Yisro's daughter. So perhaps that's the wording over here, that Cushis refers to the actual Midianim. Either way, the Yates Yadwal Tzafon, God's going to stretch his hand out in the north now. The Abed is Ashur, he'll get rid of Assyria. And that we know happens, right? Nebuchadnezzar took it over, not there. It will be dried up in the wilderness. All the flocks and the wild animals of all the nations, they're going to lie down there. Gamkoas, Gamkipod. So too, the Koas and the Kipod, both of those are birds, maybe the owls or a kite or something. The Kapto, you don't have a translation for that, do you? Nothing? The Kapto Rea Yalinu, they're going to lodge in the different parts of the palaces. Kol Yishoy Rer, Machalon, Horabasaf, they're going to call out their voices in the windows, right, by the devastation that's in the threshold. Ki Arza Eiro, because all the cedars are laid bare, everything is completely destroyed. Now, again, all these these places, right, he says that all the places where human habitation is going on right now, they're all going to be desolate completely. All the birds that were heard, that's all you'll hear. You're going to hear the birds chirping, you're going to hear the animals around, but that's it. There's going to be complete devastation in every single one of the places. This, again, is referring to Moab and Ammon, as well as the Philistim and all of these areas. Now, there is a shot brought down over here that Moab and Ammon took out during the times of the Beis Hamikdash. They took out the Kruven from the Beis Hamikdash. That is a Medrash. Whether they brought out the actual Kruven from the Aron Kodesh, that's unlikely, because the Aron Kodesh, if you'll remember, was already Gunuz, hidden by Yoshia HaMelech. There is an opinion that it was brought out and Nebuchadnezzar was able to find it, right, and took it with him when he went. But that's the other shot. But right now, it could be that when Nebuchadnezzar took it out, Moab and Ammon took the Kruven from on top of the Kaporet. That's a possibility, although I don't know why Nebuchadnezzar would have given it up to the Moab and Ammon if he didn't exactly like them. On the other hand, it could be referring to the other Jews. We don't see anything like that, but maybe there were soldiers that were working for them. But there are two Kruven, the bigger Kruven that Shlomo HaMelech made there on the floor. If you look in Bava Basra, Tzadi Testament Aleph, there's a picture of those Kruven on the ground, how they faced in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Those Kruven they brought out and they showed it to the different people. Others say it wasn't the Kruven at all. It was rather the parochas or some of the curtains around that had pictures of Kruven on it, and they showed them to the people in the streets. Either way, they said, look, they worship idols. The Jews worship idols, that they have these Kruven that are out there. And because they did that and they humiliated Bnei Yisrael for what they were doing, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset at them and they deserved this destruction. Of course, it could also be because they were, you know, so evil to us when we left. Zosa Irha Liza Hashem Sabatav. This is the happy city that is sitting in surety. Omer Vovava that says it to itself, I will be and there will be none other than me. Echoisel Shama, look how destroyed it is. Marbet Sachai, it's a place for beasts to live. Anybody who passes by will whistle and they'll wave their hands at it and say, wow, I've never seen a place like that before. That's going to happen. What can happen to Moab and Ammon? Some say this is not referring to Moab and Ammon, but rather referring to Ashur, as in Assyria, and Nineveh, and the great city of Nineveh, and what happened to them then. Okay, in the final parak of Tzvanya, parak Gimel, now he's going to say more things about the Jews themselves. Hoi mora v'nig'ala ha'ir hayona. Woe, that the city that hayona literally means the dove, the city of the doves, referring to Bnei Yisrael, which is obviously good, mora, that has become filthy and disgusting, nig'ala. And ga'ala is not ge'ula, unfortunately. It's the opposite, right? It's filthy, polluted, whatever you want to call it. Others say hayona also refers to something that is silly, something silly or infuriating in a certain way, mired in mud, devoid of heart, and that's that. Now, there were times where there were going to be small geulas during the times of Yerushalayim itself, but woe that the city of Yerushalayim is so low, said Sonia. Lo shem v'kol, they didn't listen to the voice of Menavim. Lo lakom osu, they did not take the voice of Menavim. Hashem lo batacha, they didn't have assurance in Hashem. Lo haya, lo kareva, it didn't come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This may be a reference to the kings themselves, who we know Tzidkiyah was approached time after time after time again by Yirmiyah and did not listen. Perhaps it's a reference. Yirmiyah, right? And perhaps it's a reference to Yo Yakin, the people that were out there that were not as good as they possibly could have been. How could they not have listened? Pasuk Gimel. So Rabikir Ba Ariel Shayagim. The princes, the officers inside it, are like lions roaring. Shoftez Avi Eret. The judges are like wolves of the evening. Lo Gormu La Boker. They don't leave even a bone for the morning. They destroy everything. So in other words, the officers were people that were extremely violent, they were corrupt, they did whatever they wanted, they were like lions and wolves tearing the people apart and grabbing them and destroying them for what they wanted. They didn't even leave stuff over to the morning. The bribes that they were offered the night before in order to judge a certain case, it was all gone. All the money was gone in their gambling, feasting, whatever it was, before the morning was through, which is impressive. I guess they're not going to watch the paid. But Nevi'ah Pochazim, they're Nevi'im, now this is a good word, Pochaz means to be empty, or it also means to be hurried. Pachaz kamayim al tosar is the bracha or the curse of Reuven by Yaakov Avinu. They were all empty filled. They're filled with emptiness. Anshe bogdos kohanim, the kohanim are treacherous people. Chilukaydish, they were machalel the kaydish, chamsu tayra, and they have done violence to the Torah itself. This very well may be not referencing the Nevi'im and kohanim of Klal Yisrael, but rather the Nevi'im and the kohanim of the Baal. That the Baal, even though they had they had been banished for so many years since the times of Eliyahu HaNavi, they had started to come back and people were involved. They made people abolish the Torah and neglect the Torah, and there were people that did not care about anything whatsoever. He calls them over here that these people are Vogdos Kohan Neha. He says could be referring to something else entirely, that it's showing that their wives were faithless people who were going around to other men because their husbands weren't home. Hashem Tzadik V'Kabal, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a righteous one amongst them. Lo Yasa Avla, he would not do something that's wrong. But Boker V'Boker Mishpato, every morning he allows the judgment to be coming. Yitein La'or, and he brings it to light. Lo Nedor, he does not fail. Lo Yodea Avol Boishes. But the problem is that the wrongdoer, the evil people that are living in Eretz Yisrael, they know no shame. They have no idea how embarrassing their embarrassment and everything like that. They don't realize how badly they have done. I just skipped over here. Here we go. Plus and above. Hichrati goyim. I cut off the nations. Nasham upinaisam. I destroyed their towers. Hichrati chutzosim miblu over. I have laid their cities waste without anyone passing by anymore. Nitzu areya miblish. The cities are devastated without men. Me'ein yoshev. Nobody living in it whatsoever. Obviously, seemingly like Sodom and Amora, etc. Amarti achtir yosi. I thought that that would make you fear me. Tichim usur. Make you take musur. Well, you carries me. Oh no. And then the dwelling, their area, the place where they live, would not be cut off. And everything that I wanted to visit upon her. But instead, they have gotten up early and they have destroyed. Not only did they did something bad, but they got up early to do something bad. In other words, they lost sleep in order to go and do more and more things, causing more confusion and more stuff like that. It's really the enthusiasm that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so upset about, that you're willing to be so enthusiastic. Therefore, I'm asking you to wait for me, says God. When I get up forever, my mishpat will be to gather all the nations together. I will judge the nations together. And gather all the kingdoms. To pour upon them my wrath. Everything of my anger. Do that at Ish, that fire of vengeance. I will destroy the whole land. At that point, the nations will be turned with a pure tongue. They'll now know what to say and how to speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, they'll all call out in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their own way. To serve them all with one shoulder, accepting one philosophy, one idea in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved with everybody. At that time, we will no longer be accepting Gerim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says we do not accept this Gemara in Yevamos. We don't accept Gerim in the times when everything is all good. It's too late to accept Gerim, but they can be Geri Toshavim. And a Geri Toshav, still like any other nation in the world, has the ability to take a good chelik in Olam Haba and to have something big. So although they won't be allowed with that, nonetheless there's something different. Now, I don't know this in Binyamin, you might not remember this either. He says, based on these psukim, it says there's a certain prayer that says, may they all become one confederation and act in accordance with your will. I'm sorry? Yasu kula maguda achas. The lave of shalim. Red for atakadosh. Or red for brachat Hashem alamach makadosh. Maybe that's what it referred to. This is what it's referring to. This is what it means. Safra brura, right? They all call out together and they come together. This is what it refers to over here. Idolatry is gone. Me'evel and Ari Kush, from beyond the rivers of the Kush, they call that the river Sambatyon, where somehow they couldn't get past a certain part of Africa. I assume it's because there were huge mountains on one side, a desert on the other, and then came one river that was too much for them, I guess, somewhere in Kush, whatever Ethiopia has, but they couldn't get past it. Asarai Basputzi, so there's a big question over here. Either this is referring to a certain clan, Asarai Basputzi, the daughters of Putzai, Yovila Munchasi, they will bring me my gifts. So that could be over here. It could also be those who are now talking in my favor. Targum Yonasan says this refers to India. If you look at the Targum in that pasuk, it refers to the rivers of India, that those people will come back, and it's referring to the Jews that were banished all the way to India. They say today that there are still tribes out there that are claiming to be Jews in India. Yeah, there are quite a few. There's quite a few of them. It's not just the B'nai Ganash anymore. There's an Naftali tribe that they claim. There's a lot of crazy. The Adon is a famous one. They go out there. I don't know. But Targum Yonasan says that they're going to come back and bring offerings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could be that Putzai refers to their oaths. In other words, I'm going to repay all my oaths, my promises of how much I'm going to give. It could be something like that. Bas Putzai could be referring to the others that were able to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those who opened their mouths to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here. It also, although we said before that Kushis refers to the Midianim, it it's unlikely that here we're referring to Midian. There are no real rivers by the land of Midian this would refer to, so we knock that out completely over here. No, Midian, I believe, is northeast Saudi Arabia, isn't it?
I thought it was south of Egypt.
Isn't that Kush?
But that's further south.
I thought Midian is northeast. I thought it was. I don't know. It could be in the Sinai Peninsula also. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu was by Har Sinai when he had the sheep.
Right, I didn't see both. That's what it makes the most sense. And also fight Midian when they're in the Midbar over there. So.
Yeah, that would make the most sense. Right, more than a Midian. All right, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Bayomahu lo sevoshim mikol lo sayich. On that day, you will not be embarrassed of all of your bad deeds that you did against me. Because I'm going to remove from you all that joy that you have from your pride. It's all gone. You will no longer have any gaiva in my holy mountain. You won't feel that anymore. So in other words, you won't even feel bad anymore. You'll realize, okay, now I am who I am. I'm gone. I'm not that person anymore. It's as if we're reborn. Amongst you, there will only remain a poor and lowly nation who are protected in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is, to my knowledge, the only time that we've ever mentioned about the times of Mashiach, that we're gonna be like a poor and lowly nation. Now, granted, we know what that means. It means that they're going to be humbled in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But we always say that the riches and all the greatness, etc. This is what we're saying. Like, this is what we're gonna appear as. Puzzle Yud Gimel She'er Yisrael Lo Yasu Avla. The remnant of Bnei Yisrael will no longer do evil. They will never speak out lies. Chazal used this pasuk to refer to all the Jews, even nowadays. Chas v'shalom that a Jew should do evil or that he should lie. I'm not saying that Jews don't lie. I'm not saying Jews don't do evil, but Chas v'shalom that they should. Bnei Yisrael shouldn't. Believe much of the theim lashon tarmis. They would never speak out words of trickery. Ke'ema yiru v'rabzu v'emacharid. At that time, they will graze and lie down, and there will be none to make them afraid. They will no longer be afraid whatsoever. Rani Bastion, rejoice, O those the daughters of Zion. Haril Yisrael, shout out loud, Bnei Yisrael. Simchi va'olzi v'kolei v'asu Yerushalayim. Be happy and joyous with all of your heart, all those daughters of Yerushalayim, and sing out loud. Chisar Hashem Yishmatayich. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remove you from your judgment. Pino Yveich, remove you from all of your enemies. Melchis Hashem Yikardeich. The King of Yisrael is Hashem. He will live, be amongst you. Lo Siri Ra Oyed, and you will no longer be afraid of evil ever again. Pasuk Tazayin by Yomahu Yamer Lushalayim Al Tirai. And that day they will call you Yerushalayim, or they'll say out to Yerushalayim. Don't be worried. There's nothing to fear. Tzion, are your Yerushalayim. To all of Tzion, you don't have to worry about anything. Now the question is, who? Is this the other nations, the enemies of the Jews, who are like, don't worry, we're not going to fight you anymore? Is it the prophets? Or is it Bnei Yisrael themselves that are so self-assured, they're not worried about anything? Hashem Elokayich V'Kerbeich, God is within you. Gibor Yoshia, he's a strong one. Who will save you? Yosis Alayach B'Simcha. He will be happy with you in a certain type of simcha. Yachrish Ba'av Asoy. He will be silent with his love. Yogo Alayach Barina. He will be joyous over you with all those songs. And Pasuk Yud Ches. Nugi Mimoed Osafti. Those who have been sad for such a long time, I will gather them together. We'll get to this in a second. Mimei Chayu. It's from within you. Masis Alayach Acherpa. They bore upon themselves the degradation that was there within, you know, with everything that you had. Now, Nui, this is an interesting pasuk. The Gemara in Brachos brings down that what this pasuk refers to are those that delayed Mincha until they missed Mincha. Those that delayed Musaf until they missed Musaf. Those that delay it and are not able to do it, they're upset about that. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will cause them to perish. Asapti, I will take them away. Those that are there.
It seems like a pretty minor infraction compared to other infractions.
More so. According to Rebbe Yehuda, who says you can only daven Musaf until the seventh hour of the day, if you delay it even further, you'll be destroyed. Crazy. First of all, it's only according to Rebbe Yehuda. Second of all, what in the world is the pshat?
You have Musaf all day, or you could delay Musaf.
And the Gemara doesn't mention it regarding the Chacham. It doesn't say it. It only says regarding Rebbe Yehuda. Lefi Rebbe Yehuda, if you delay past the seventh hour, and they learn it out from this pasuk. And it goes by Mincha as well. Remember, Rebbe Yehuda is the one that said that Mincha can only be done until Plag HaMincha, according to Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe said, if you daven Mincha, if you delay Mincha until after Plag HaMincha, Nugi Mimoed Asafi. That's what it refers to over here. Meaning, I guess what we're trying to say over here is that they're going to be disconsolate. They're going to sit there and say, we feel so terrible that we missed this and we missed that. Right? That's going to make them feel terrible. At that time, I'm going to deal with all those who afflicted you. I'm going to save you. Yeah, then those. For sure, Druth. Yeah. Well, they might have had something because of the Avos. But they didn't have what we have as Mincha. They might have had Salah.
you know, whatever it was that they had with the Corbin Tucker show in our buy-in. It's not our version for sure. Yeah, Voshaki
is
correct. Even at that time, they had something. But Yaakov Kamenetsky is a whole piece on it, a beautiful piece on what they did during the Beis HaMikdash. It was something, just not what we're used to. On the other hand, the people were there for Yom Kippur. Apparently, you watched the whole Avodah. You had to do something during that.
Daniel, the first time you see somebody like actually doing a sort of formal prayer service?
Yes and no. Meaning, the only time where we see somebody davening, well, we have Chana, but there wasn't a sect to be loved. Daniel, yeah, because three times a day, we learn it from Daniel. Right, we learn it from Daniel. It seems unlikely that Daniel would have been the only one.
Right.
It's possible, though. We don't have any other that says it.
Can you just saying, like, you know, Baruch Hashem or something like that?
Okay. Yeah. He probably didn't do Anini, allocate Daniel, Anini. I don't think he said that either.
Well, look, then we get Daniel, Akaz, and Meir, Anini from her. From there.
That would have been impossible. But he did have Hate Elokayos Necho we got from Daniel. There is a tefillah that we say. Anyway, Hoshatias, that's 11, Idocha HaKabet. I'm going to gather together all those that are lost. I'm going to save those that are lame. But something with Silo Hashem Mechol Arts Bashkam. I'm going to make them into praises and good names, right? With all the land, right? Those who have been put to shame, everything's going to be at. Puzzle But you say, Yav Yaskam, Yav Yaskam, Yaskam. And that time I will bring you, I will gather you, Kiatin Eskam, Hashem, Lusil, Mechol Me'aret. I will make you into a shame and a tefillah in front of all the nations. When I return you in front of, you know, with all your returnees, in front of your eyes, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, this is a reference to either Tzchias HaMeisim or the Kibbutz Gullius at the end of days. Whatever it's referring to over here, that's what's going to happen. We're going to all come together to be able to go through, and that is the end of Tzfani. We are now on to the final three Nevi'im of Shrei Yasser. The final three Nevi'im are Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Each one of them doing something different. Zechariah is a huge Navi, I mean, in comparison, he's like 12 Prakim altogether. Malachi is very short. Chagai is very short. Chagai is altogether two prakim altogether. Chagai's job was to, he had four nevuos altogether. Chagai's job was to tell the Jews to build the second Beis HaMikdash. The third Beis HaMikdash of Yechezkel was the plan, but they couldn't do it. And Chagai was the one that got up there and said, it's time to build the second. Stop delaying, stop worrying about things, just build a different Beis HaMikdash. And Chagai came out with the plans for a second Beis HaMikdash that would be extremely similar to the first Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't exactly the same, but very similar to it. He started prophesying in the beginning of the reign of Darius II. He was part of Ezra's Beis Din. It's very likely that he was there during the Purim story, but probably not in Shushan. You'd assume that he was in Babel. But later on, he did find himself by Eretz Yisrael Yerushalayim, and obviously he was the last of the Nevi'im that we really know of. Right? There are those that argue that there were a couple others. He definitely was there. Now, the interesting thing is, the Gemara quite often quotes that we heard this from Haggai. You might have seen that before. B'shem Haggai, they'll quote it. Sometimes they do Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, but especially Rabbi Tzadok, you say, on this step, Haggai sat and said over the following halacha. It could be because he was part of the Lishkas of Gus and Sanhedrin and teaching Klal Yisrael what to do. We're going to see in Tarek Beis how he admonishes the Kohanim for the things they had done wrong. And since he was that type of posek, perhaps his halacha stood for many, many years and they just quoted it in the name of Haggai. But it is interesting that throughout the Gemara, there's a couple Gemaras that mention Haggai, specifically a law in the name of Haggai when it comes to that. And so that's that. He also made the concept called Yom HaRabbah. So let's see over here. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. So in the second year of Darius's reign, this is Darius the second. Remember, this is possible. Yeah.
I'll say Darius, except for Mari Cross, and say Darius the.
Is it Cyrus?
He says both. He says which makes no sense.
No, because that's based on the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Let me explain a little bit. It starts off in the following. It goes the following. It says the very first king was Adelzin Nebuchadnezzar, who reigned for 45 years. Right? He had exiled everybody in the 18th/19th year of his kingdom, question whatever it is, right, and went down. That's 45 years. Evel Merodach was king for 23 years altogether. That was his 23-year kingdom. We don't know much about him. There's nothing that's written in the Nevi'im about Evel Merodach. Yes, that's what we have. We have from Midrashim, right?
Not at the end of the Nevi'im, brought him out of jail. You're right, that was the last Pesach of Malachim, right?
Either way, but that's that. But I think that's it, right? After Evel Merodach, then comes Belshazzar. Belshazzar was the one who was the father of Vashti. He reigned for 3 years altogether. In the third year of his kingdom, that's when he made the famous party with the killing of the Beis HaMikdash. That's when the hand wrote that stuff on the wall. They had Daniel translate. When we get to Daniel, we'll see Belshazzar. On that night, Persia
and Mede took over the Babylonian kingdom. That was Kores and Darius. Darius the first and Kores, although it's Cyrus the first and Darius. They were kings for the next 5 years altogether. After Kores and Darius, Achashverosh was sent up. There's Akasha. Achashverosh is the son of Cyrus. Or Achashverosh is another person altogether who took over the Persian kingdom afterward. Achashverosh was king for 14 years, and then we all know the Purim story, etc., married Esther. According to that, Darius would have been his son, which means that when Achashverosh died, Darius would have been at best a couple years old, 6, 7, 8 years old at the most, if we have our numbers down correctly, right?
He could have had a son.
Oh, there's no question. If Darius is Vashti's son, that's a different story. According to Tosfos,
I'm sure he had many times.
Oh, that could be as well. But according to there's a Tosfos that says that Darius the second was Esther's son.
They say it
could be, but he would have been very young at the time. Now, it does make sense. Esther would have influenced him, right?
It would have been like Darius the third, and maybe his brother took over and not his son.
It's very possible. We just don't have that number. It seems like Darius the second is the one we're talking about. No, the Gemara does say Daryavish had three names: Artaxasta, Kores, and Daryavish. Those are the three names.
But Kores,
it's not the same person, right? It's not the same person. There's another Daryavish. This is Daryavish the second. It's Kores the second as well.
And Artaxasta historically does not match up to almost at all.
Yeah, we've
seen a few kings.
Yeah, I mean, there might be something else that we don't know about. I'm not one of those that goes into the history, so I don't know. I'm just going by what Chazal tell us. Again, the fact that he would have been king at the age of 6 is hard for us to understand as well. But that would have been hard as well. Regardless, he's the one. Kores the first king of Persian Mede, allowed the Jews to build the Beis HaMikdash and allowed them to start building the foundation. They did start this before Ezra came down, right? They did start before Nehemiah. It could have been Zerubbabel that started it, but it didn't last. They weren't able to last, and Achashverosh put a halt to all of the building. When Daryavish II got put in charge, then everything started up again, and that's when they were able to bring it back. There's a couple other words over here, but regardless, second year of Daryavish II, in the sixth month, that is altogether the month of Elul, okay, Elul, Yom HaKadosh, on the first of Elul, the word of Chagai Navi came to Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel. There are those that say that Zerubbabel is the same person as Nehemiah ben Chachliah, right? Others say that Zerubbabel is another person altogether. He was certainly from Shevet Yehuda, and he was a very, very big Talmud Chacham. He was from the lineage of David HaMelech. Even though it says he was the son of Shealtiel, Chazal tells us that Shealtiel raised Zerubbabel because his father was thrown in jail. So the Shiloh is, who was his father? Was his father Yechonia, the person who had been captured by Nebuchadnezzar and thrown in jail? Was his father Yechonia, and his father died in jail, never raising Zerubbabel? Or was it somebody different? But there is no question it was Pachas Yehuda, the leader of the Judeans at the time, and it, without a question, was related to David HaMelech. El Yoshua ben Yotzedek HaKohen HaGadol Emar, and to Yoshua ben Yotzedek, the Kohen Gadol as well. Yoshua ben Yotzedek, we're going to see more by Zechariah. He's going to appear over there. We'll talk about Yoshua ben Yotzedek over there, the greatness of Yoshua ben Yotzedek and how great of a Kohen Gadol he was. Okay, I said there were 4 prophecies of Chagai. I messed up. There were 5 prophecies of Zechariah, 2 over here and 3 in the next parak over here. The Kuzari does hold that prophecy continued for 40 years after Chagai Zechariah Malachi died, but it's a little bit interesting. Okay, and that is that. What else do we have over here? Yoshua ben Yotzedek, which we're going to get to. Zerubbabel, according to the Medrash, was supposed to be the actual Mashiach, and the Beis HaMikdash that would have been built in his time would have been the third Beis HaMikdash, as Yechezkel had already prophesied a couple years earlier, 20, 30, 40 years earlier, and what ended up happening. The light that shone through Chagai Zechariah Malachi gave them the chance to rebuild the temple and to come back. Unfortunately, they didn't do it as they wanted to, and because of that, Zerubbabel ended up returning to Babel, right, and came back only later on. That was the unfortunate part over there. They did find a lot of crazy stuff. They found the skull of Arvana Hayabusi underneath the area that they had always considered where the Temple Mount was. Remember Arvana Hayabusi? He's the one that sold the land to David HaMelech. He's the one that owned the land before and apparently was buried there. And they couldn't believe that they were doing kudshim in an area where Arvana Hayabusi was. We'll see. This is what God says.
Between
one king?
There's a king
that's
Even in Tanakh, there's 2 other kings, or at least 1 other king that we're not talking about.
In between what?
Between Cyrus and then his Candace, then it's Darius I, and then it's
Xerxes is Ahasuerus.
Right, that's the Kasha, right?
Where do you put Artaxerxes?
Artaxerxes is Artaxerxes. That's what, according to the Gemara, that's Kores and Darius. Artaxerxes is Kores and Darius.
I don't know. Maybe.
All right, let's go on. Kol Hashem Tzvokos Leimar. Omazeh Omnulois Bo Ace Base S Bo Base Hashem Leibanos. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, listen, the people are saying it's not the time for the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. The hope is gone. The people are like, we're done. It's just not happening. And we're perfectly fine with stuff like that. They also thought that the Geula Shlema was going to include crazy miracles and awesome things happening. We can't build a Beis HaMikdash without Nisim. They didn't see any Nisim, so they're like, alright, I guess it's not going to work. So they had given up completely and said, forget it, we're not going to have a Yidvar Hashem B'yad Chagai Navi Leimor. The word of God glints in the hands of Chagai Navi saying, do you think this is the time for you to sit down in your houses, right, and your panels, your ceiling houses, while the Beis HaMikdash remains destroyed? How in the world did you build houses for yourselves, but you didn't build the house of the Beis HaMikdash? How could you not have done that? This is not the time to build your own house. It's the time to build the Beis HaMikdash itself, right? You realize that Daryavish had only been sitting on the throne for a year and a half. Don't worry. Daryavish is going to be fine. Everything's going to work out well. We have Esther in the kingdom somewhere. Everything's going to be fine. That's all. Therefore, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Pay attention to your ways. Look at what you've done. See that you've done evil and try to bring yourselves back. Remember that pasuk over here, okay? Zuatim harbi v'halvi ma'at. You've noticed. You've planted a lot, but you've only come out with a little bit. Hakol ve'im l'stava. You've eaten a lot, and you're not satisfied. Shasa ve'in l'shakra. You drink a lot, you don't become drunk. I think that's a bracha. Lavo she'in l'chomba. You dress, you put on a lot of clothing, but you're not worn. And those who want to wage anything, it's like a purse that's filled with holes. You lose all the money through the holes themselves. Have you noticed this curse? Have you noticed that nothing has been working out well for you?
He's saying that, like, even though you have it all in galus, you're not happy.
Even though you're out of galus. They're in our soul all the time.
I thought he's talking to people who are
it's quasi galus.
These are the people in Eretz Yisrael. No, they're true, but they're in Eretz Yisrael. They're living in Eretz Yisrael. They're refusing to build the Beis HaMikdash. These are people that moved by the times when Kores, originally, before Ezra even, allowed them to come in to go around. Ezra is about to come in, but Chagai is exhorting them, start now, before everything happens, before Nehemiah comes in. Do it right now. And he's telling them, have you noticed that nothing has been working out for you, that everything's been cursed? Have you noticed that? Pay attention to your ways. Again, it's the exact same words. You just said that, right? The exact same thing. The pshat is, first, look at your ways. Can you not see anything? Do you notice that you've been cursed the whole time? Now look at your ways again. Do you realize that you must have done something wrong? When the people are like, well, I can't think of anything. Well, look at what's happened to you and now think again, because clearly something is wrong. Maybe you're doing things out of habit. Maybe you're forgetting the laws of the Torah themselves. Maybe you're not bringing Meister properly. Something is wrong with what you're doing. Chazal said that they might not have been doing Shemitah as well. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the Beis HaMikdash. That's a good call. That's yours. The Erzabov the Ekovda, right? And I will desire it, and I will be glorified, Omer Hashem. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build up a Beis HaMikdash already. In other words, this is not a time to sit around. You don't have gold. You don't have silver. You're not going to have the Persians pay for it. Don't worry. The Persians will pay for it. But for right now, then build a Beis HaMikdash filled with wood. Yeah, they did. But either way, regardless, but who cares? Go build it out of wood. Build an entire Beis HaMikdash out of wood. What do I care, says a Kodesh Baruch Hu? I'll be around. Now we know the Beis HaMikdash was missing five major things. Obviously, the Aron Kodesh was gone, which included obviously the Luchos and everything like that. The Urim and Tumim was gone, or it didn't work anymore. The fire that came down from Shemayim was gone. Ruach HaKodesh, Nevuah, all that stuff was going to be gone. That stuff was going to be gone completely. There were five things altogether that were going to be gone forever, and they weren't going to come back. But nonetheless,
is there any source in Tanakh, not Midrashim, that says, I mean, and the Urim between Aaron, that these things were actually there, that there was a fire? No,
you have to look for the drush and where they got it from.
The Aaron was gone. In between, we see that it was consulted in Tanakh, but afterwards it wasn't consulted. But
the Gemara in Yuma, I think, is on Nun Gimel Mem Aleph. I think that's where it is. So we'd have to check there and see where they darshan it from, because they darshan it from Sukkah, where they got the
those things, whether we're missing from. I don't know. Often, I don't know.
It's easy for Chagai to see all this, but aside from the directive from Koresh, telling him, hey, you can do it if you want, there was no directive, there was no internal directive.
No, 100%. There was nobody
doing it. So why is he...
I hear you're right. He's coming out so strong here. It could be that he was saying, I've already told you this, and now I'm telling you...
Why should they assume that there's a connection between the fact that their harvest isn't great, but they're putting in all this work?
There always has to be something. In other words, if things are not working out, then you have to start thinking.
They were just not keeping the mitzvahs well.
Agreed. But now he's saying, now here's something that you can do better.
But he's like railing on them for like, he's seemingly stating the obvious when it wasn't really obvious.
He might have been saying things without a nevuah beforehand. There might have been people that were trying to get them to do it, but they had given up hope. The people clearly said, like, eh,
it's
not worth it.
Aside from this Zerubbabel guy, but...
Zerubbabel was big.
And isn't the message kind of like some... There are certain people out there that, you know, would be like, oh, this is where I can go back. Let's go to the Temple Mount now.
Oh, that's a little scary.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
There is a major difference. There are people living on that mountain right now, and the people have their thing, and that would start a major war if we tried kicking them out. At this time, there was no one there.
All right.
The area was empty.
Oh, there was a dead guy there.
Okay, I don't know. But that is a difference. You hear the knock? There is a difference. I mean, now we would have to battle them to take over.
A Muslim might take it over.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Anyway, regardless, by the way, aside from that, apparently the menorah, the shulchan, the jar of mun, the staff of Aaron, the Shemin of Mishka was also hidden away. I always thought the menorah and the what's it called, and the shulchan was just taken into Babylonia and lost. And I guess that could be an opinion, because there is an opinion that says that the Aaron also went to Babel. But apparently it was all gunners. So I don't know what they used after Yoshia was gonies everything. What did they use for the menorah? Did they make another, or did they use a replica from that point on? I thought so also. Now, it definitely does say the Aaron and everything with it. There were a lot of things with it. Could be they did all. I remember the wording being Mahmad, you know, Mahmad Bim or something. Like that. Something or other. But, Puzzle test. You looked for a lot, you found little. You brought it home, and I could blow on it, and it was gone. Yan meh, you know why? You must have some coast. Yan beis yashu chorei, because my beis yashu is destroyed. Batam rotsim ish lo beiso, and you're running to your house instead, right? Instead of getting everything good, you're running away and not allowing it to be there. And that's the most alkana lechem kolu shamayim itol. That's why the heavens are holding back the tal. The aretz kolo yivula, and the land is holding back its produce. The ekra chor vel aretz vel aharim vel adogim vel atirosh vel yitzor. I called out a heat upon the land and the mountains and on the grain and on the wine and on the oil. Vashar totsi adam, and everything that comes out from the ground itself. Vel adam vel behem vel kol yigi apayim, and all the animals and the people and everything, your toil, etc. Everything has not been successful. That's why, because of that beis hamikdash. Vayishma Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel v'Yoshua ben Yotzedek HaKohen Gadol. Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel and Yoshua ben Yotzedek HaKohen Gadol. They heard it. V'kol shiris ha'am v'kol Hashem aleihem, and they listened. All the people of Bnei Yisrael, they listened to the voice of Hashem. Al dibrei Chagai nevesh kasher shlochu Hashem elokeihem v'yu al mipnei Hashem. They realized they wanted to do the words of Chagai Navi that he had sent in the name of their God, and they feared the people. Vayomer Chagai. Chagai spoke out. This is his second nevuah over here. Malach Hashem b'malachus Hashem la'am lemor. He was the messenger of God with the messages of God to the people, saying, "Ani itcham yom Hashem. I am with you," says the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Although Daryavish has not given his permission yet, I will be with you. I will be with you, and I will take care of you. Don't worry about it. Vayor Hashem as ruach Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel b'chaz Yehuda. Kodesh Baruch Hu allowed the spirit of Zerubbabel to become great. As ruach Yoshua ben Yotzer Kohen Gadol and him as well. As ruach Kol Sherizam, and even the people. Vayavol v'yasum alachem beis Hashem tzvokos Elohim. They started doing work in the beis hamikdash of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, their God. Yom Asher Ma'arba l'chodesh. This was the 24th l'chodesh of Ashishi, l'chodesh of the month. Ashishi in the 6th month. Bishnas Shtayim l'dar Yavash HaMelech. So by the 24th of the month, that was on Rosh Chodesh Elul that they start, that they he had spoken. By the 24th of the month, they were able to put stuff together, chisel stones, cut the wood, and do everything that they needed to do to prepare themselves. The actual building did not start until Kislev, as we're going to see later on in Perek Beis. That didn't start until Kislev. All right, thanks. I thought maybe we'd be able to get Perek Beis in as well, but we'll do that, I guess, next time.